All right, let's jump right into this deep dive. And today we're going to be untangling some advice from the book of Proverbs.
Okay.
We're looking specifically at the first 19 verses of chapter 6.
Okay.
And this section covers four pretty big topics.
All right.
Smart money moves, the power of hard work,
okay,
the pitfalls of sneaky schemes,
right,
and even a list of things that are just universally disliked.
You know, it's amazing how these Proverbs written thousands of years ago can still feel so relevant today.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like they tap into some fundamental truths about human nature and the challenges we face.
Yeah, and the first lesson dives right into a topic that's always timely: money troubles.
Mm-hmm.
It specifically warns against co-signing loans, especially for someone outside of your close community.
Right.
It even talks about putting up a tunic as collateral.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine someone asking for your shirt off your back as insurance?
Well, that image really gets to the heart of the matter, doesn't
okay.
it? Back in ancient Israel, a tunic wasn't just a piece of clothing. It was often the only thing standing between a person and the elements.
Oh, wow.
There were even laws in place to make sure a borrowed tunic was returned by nightfall so the borrower wouldn't be left out in the cold.
So it's not just about losing a piece of clothing. It's about losing that basic sense of security and dignity.
Exactly.
It makes the Proverbs warning even more powerful.
Yes.
You're risking your own well-being for someone else's debt.
Absolutely. And remember, the proverb specifically mentions co-signing for someone considered a foreigner.
Okay.
Which in this context means someone outside the covenant community.
Mm-hmm.
It's suggesting that this person might not feel the same obligation to repay.
Oh.
Leaving you in a very difficult position.
I'm starting to see how this ancient advice connects to the modern world.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the pressures of credit card debt, payday loans, or even those help a friend out situations that can turn sour.
It's almost like the proverb is urging us to think beyond that immediate urge to help and consider the long-term consequences.
Yeah.
Are we enabling someone's bad habits?
Right.
Or are we genuinely helping them get back on their feet?
That's a tough question.
It really is.
This deep dive is making me rethink my whole approach to lending and borrowing.
Well, maybe that's the point of these proverbs, to make us stop and really examine our choices.
Okay. Enough about money woes.
Okay.
Lesson number two takes us into the fascinating world of ants.
Ants.
Seriously, the proverb compares humans to ants when it comes to work ethic.
It's an interesting comparison, isn't it?
It is.
See, the biblical view of work is complex.
Okay.
Originally, work was seen as a good thing.
Right.
Part of God's design for humanity.
Yeah.
But after the fall, it became associated with toil and struggle.
That makes sense. We've all felt that, gotta go to work feeling.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, is the proverb really glorifying the hustle culture we see so much of these days?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Look at the ants.
Right.
They're always preparing, gathering, working together towards a common goal.
Yeah, like I've seen ants carrying loads three times their size. Talk about a work ethic.
They're focused.
Always on the move, seemingly with a purpose.
Exactly.
So maybe it's less about clocking in endless hours
right.
and more about approaching our work with a sense of purpose and diligence.
Yes.
Even when it's not glamorous.
The proverb is urging us to find that balance between rest and work.
Yeah.
And to approach our tasks with a sense of purpose.
Okay. That's actually pretty inspiring.
Good.
Suddenly I'm feeling a little more motivated to tackle that to-do list. Speaking of tackling things, let's move on to proverbial lesson number three.
Okay.
Avoiding those sneaky schemes. And the way the proverb describes a schemer is just priceless.
Oh.
It paints this picture of someone squinting, shuffling, and pointing fingers like a cartoon villain.
It's a very vivid image, isn't it?
It is.
And it highlights that scheming often involves manipulation and deception.
Hmm.
The proverb is warning us that this kind of behavior ultimately leads to trouble.
It's like those characters in old movies who cook up these elaborate plans to get rich quick or get revenge.
Right.
But it always backfires spectacularly.
Yeah. Those stories often serve as cautionary tales, showing us that trying to manipulate situations or people for personal gain rarely ends well.
So it's not just about avoiding big, elaborate schemes. It's also about the little things.
Yes.
Like spreading rumors to get ahead or manipulating people in our personal relationships.
Right. The proverb reminds us that true success is built on integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Honesty and genuine effort, not on taking shortcuts or trying to outsmart others.
So lesson three?
Yes.
Stay away from those get-rich-quick schemes
mm-hmm.
and focus on building something solid.
Right.
even if it takes a little longer.
Exactly.
Now brace yourself, because lesson four takes a slightly darker turn.
Oh.
It's all about those seven things the Lord hates, or as some translations put it, the seven abominations.
It's a powerful list.
It is.
And it's interesting how the proverb uses specific body parts to emphasize each point. The eyes, the tongue, the hands, the heart, the feet, the mouth.
Right.
It's like a reminder that our whole being is involved in these actions.
Yeah.
And our words and deeds have consequences.
And it's not just some outdated list of ancient taboos.
Right.
We're talking about things like pride, lying, murder, plotting evil, stirring up trouble-bearing false witness,
right,
and sowing discord among friends.
What strikes me is how many of these abominations are about how we treat others.
That's true.
It's a reminder that our actions have a ripple effect, impacting not just ourselves, but our relationships and communities.
It's like the proverb is saying that true righteousness isn't just about avoiding certain actions.
Right.
It's about actively cultivating a heart that desires good for others.
And that's a challenge we all face, isn't it?
It is.
To examine our own hearts and motivations.
Yeah.
And to strive to live in a way that honors both ourselves and the people around us.
All right. I have to ask you, dear listener, which of these seven abominations resonates most strongly with you?
Yes.
And maybe even more interesting, what would you consider an eighth abomination in today's world?
That's fascinating to consider.
Yeah, something to think about.
How these ancient principles might apply to our modern context.
Mm.
What new challenges and temptations do we face?
Right.
And how can we use these proverbs as a guide for navigating them?
We've covered a lot of ground already.
We have.
From money matters and work ethic to avoiding sneaky schemes and examining those universal no-nos.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just getting started.
Yes, we are.
There's so much more to uncover in these Proverbs.
I'm eager to see what other insights and wisdom we can glean from these ancient texts.
Absolutely.
Stay with us as we continue to unpack the timeless truth found in the book of Proverbs.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to our deep dive into Proverbs.
Mm-hmm.
We're picking up where we left off,
right,
exploring those first 19 verses of chapter 6. And let me tell you, things are about to get a little intense.
Oh.
We're about to tackle a section that talks about the adulterous woman.
It's definitely a section that can raise some eyebrows in modern times.
Yeah.
Especially with the way it portrays women.
Right.
But I think if we look beyond the surface, we can find some valuable insights.
Okay.
About temptation and the consequences of making unwise choices.
So maybe it's less about judging specific individuals or genders, okay, and more about understanding those universal pitfalls that can trip us up.
Exactly. The proverb uses very vivid imagery.
Okay.
Comparing this woman to a hunter setting a trap.
Mm-hmm.
But the real message is about the dangers of those things that look appealing.
Right.
But ultimately lead us down a destructive path.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like that saying, if it seems too good to be true, it probably is.
Right.
But the proverb takes it a step further, doesn't it? It doesn't just say, hey, watch out.
Right.
It actually compares falling into this trap to being robbed or even attacked by a bandit.
That's right. The language is very strong, emphasizing the severity of the consequences.
Yeah.
It's not just about a temporary lapse in judgment.
Right.
It's about the potential for long-term damage.
Okay.
To our relationships, our reputation, and even our own sense of self-worth.
It makes you think about those choices we make that might seem like a quick fix or a way to get ahead.
Right.
But ultimately, they leave us feeling empty and even more lost.
Yeah, it's like we're trading something precious for a handful of fool's gold.
And it's not just about romantic infidelity either.
No, it's not.
It could apply to any situation where we're tempted to compromise our values.
Right.
Or betray someone's trust for personal gain.
It's a reminder to think about the long game.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of person we want to be and the legacy we want to leave behind.
Okay, so we've talked about financial traps.
Mm-hmm.
The importance of a strong work ethic. Avoiding sneaky schemes.
Right.
Those universal don'ts.
Yes.
And now the dangers of giving in to certain temptations. What else does this section of Proverbs have in store for us?
Well, the text takes a bit of a turn here.
Okay.
And introduces a concept that might seem a bit out of left field.
Mm.
Hot coals of a fire and burning firebrands.
Wait, are we talking about an actual fire? What does this have to do with wisdom and making good choices?
It's actually a powerful metaphor for something we all struggle with.
Okay.
Anger and resentment.
The
proverb is warning us that holding on to these negative emotions can be just as destructive as a literal fire.
Ooh, I'm starting to see the connection.
Yeah.
It's like saying holding on to anger is like holding on to a hot coal. You're only hurting yourself.
Exactly.
But I have to admit, letting go of anger, especially when you feel justified, is way easier said than done.
It's definitely a challenge, but the proverb reminds us that harboring anger and resentment doesn't punish the person who wronged us.
Mm.
It poisons us.
Wow.
It keeps us stuck in the past,
right,
and prevents us from moving forward.
It's a reminder that forgiveness isn't about condoning the other person's actions.
Right.
It's about freeing ourselves from the weight of that anger and bitterness.
It's about choosing to break free from that cycle of pain and resentment.
Uh-huh.
Not for their sake,
mm,
but for ours.
This deep dive is really making me confront some uncomfortable truths.
Yeah.
We've covered a lot of ground.
Yeah.
From practical advice about money and work.
Right.
To deeper reflections on temptation and forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
What else do these final verses have to offer us?
Well, the text shifts gears again.
Okay.
This time, highlighting a series of behaviors that are just plain foolish and destructive.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like the proverb is saying, hey, don't be that person.
Oh, I love it when ancient wisdom gets a little sassy.
Yeah.
Tell me more. What kind of behaviors are we talking about?
It calls out those who stir up trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Spread lies.
Okay.
And actually delight in causing harm.
It's like those people who thrive on drama and chaos, always looking for a way to create conflict and negativity.
Yeah, but the proverb isn't just calling them out.
Yeah.
It's actually warning them, isn't it?
Yeah.
It describes these people as wicked and warns that their actions will ultimately lead to their own downfall.
Oh.
It's like they're digging their own pit one harmful act at a time.
It's a powerful reminder that our choices have consequences,
mm-hmm,
and that those who choose to sow discord and negativity will eventually reap what they sow.
And it's not just about avoiding those big, obviously harmful actions.
Right.
It's about choosing to be a force for good in the world,
okay,
even in small ways.
Yeah.
It's about building up instead, mm-hmm, of tearing down,
mm-hmm,
spreading kindness instead of negativity.
This is such a powerful message, especially in today's world where it's so easy to get caught up in all the negativity and division.
It is.
It's a reminder that we have a choice to contribute to the chaos or to be part of the solution.
It's about recognizing the power of our words and actions.
Yeah.
And choosing to use that power for good.
Yeah. We're getting close to the end of this section of Proverbs.
Okay.
And I'm curious, what's the final message?
Right.
The last bit of wisdom that these verses offer.
Well, the text ends with a powerful warning.
Okay.
Against those who deceive others and lead them astray.
Mm-hmm.
It specifically mentions those who use their words and charm to manipulate and exploit others.
It's like those charismatic figures who can talk their way into anything but ultimately have ulterior motives.
Right.
They might seem charming and persuasive on the surface.
Yes.
But they're actually leading people down a dangerous path.
Exactly. The proverb warns that these individuals are dangerous.
Yeah.
And that their actions will ultimately lead to pain and suffering.
Right.
For those who follow them.
It's a reminder to be discerning about who we trust.
Yes.
And to be wary of those who promise easy solutions or, mm-hmm, quick fixes.
It's about seeking wisdom and guidance from those who have proven themselves trustworthy and reliable.
Okay.
It's about looking beyond the surface charm.
Right.
And considering someone's character and actions.
This has been such an insightful journey through this section of Proverbs.
We have.
We've covered so much.
Mm.
From practical advice on finances and work.
Right.
To deeper reflections on temptation forgiveness.
Yes.
And the importance of choosing our influences wisely.
It's amazing how these ancient proverbs can still speak to us today.
Yeah.
Offering guidance for navigating the complexities of life,
mm-hmm,
and making choices that lead to genuine fulfillment.
We've explored the consequences of infidelity,
right,
the power of forgiveness, the allure of quick fixes,
mm-hmm,
and the importance of building our lives on a foundation of integrity.
It's a reminder that wisdom isn't just about knowing the right answers.
Right.
It's about living a life that reflects those values,
mm-hmm,
and inspires others to do the same.
We've only scratched the surface of what these verses have to offer.
Right.
But we're going to take a short break.
Yeah.
And when we come back, we'll wrap up our exploration of Proverbs with a few final insights that might surprise you.
All right. Sounds good.
Stay tuned. There's still more wisdom to uncover. Welcome back to our deep dive into Proverbs. We've been exploring those first 19 verses of chapter 6, and we've already uncovered some pretty profound advice. But just when you think you've got a handle on things, these ancient proverbs throw you a curveball.
Yeah.
We're about to tackle a topic that might seem a little unexpected in this context.
Sleep.
Sleep.
Yeah.
You're right. It does seem like a bit of a shift.
It does.
But the proverb actually uses this example of someone who loves to sleep a little too much and ends up in poverty to illustrate a larger point about diligence and using our time wisely.
So it's not really about getting enough shut-eye.
Right.
It's about laziness and procrastination disguised as sleep.
Think of it this way.
Okay.
Sleep becomes the symbol for anything that keeps us from fulfilling our responsibilities or achieving our goals.
Oh, I see.
It could be that just one more episode mentality when you know you have work to do, or that constant hitting of the snooze button that keeps you from getting a good start to your day. It's almost like the proverb is saying, hey, you can sleep when you're dead, but while you're alive, get out there and make something of yourself.
Well, that's a bit dramatic.
Yeah.
But you get the idea.
Right.
It's about recognizing that time is a precious resource.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't waste it on things that don't ultimately move us forward.
Mm.
It's a call to be intentional with our time and energy.
Okay.
Especially if we want to accomplish anything meaningful in life.
That makes sense. But I also have to push back a little here.
Okay.
Isn't rest also important?
Of course it is.
I mean, we can't be go, go, go all the time, right?
You're absolutely right. The proverb isn't advocating for a life of nonstop work and no play.
Okay.
It's about finding that balance between work and rest and making sure that the time we spend resting actually rejuvenates us.
Right.
So we can be more effective when we're working towards our goals.
Okay. So it's not about denying ourselves sleep or relaxation. It's about being mindful of how we're spending our time.
Exactly.
And making sure that our actions align with our priorities.
It's about making conscious choices and recognizing that every decision, even how we spend our downtime, has an impact on our journey.
Wow, this deep dive has really been an eye-opener.
It has.
We've gone from practical advice about money, work, ethic, and sneaky schemes.
Right.
To these deeper reflections on temptation, forgiveness, choosing our influences wisely, and even the importance of using our time well.
It's incredible how these ancient proverbs can pack so much wisdom into just a few verses.
I know, it's amazing.
They really do speak to the human experience across time and cultures.
We started with four seemingly simple lessons from Proverbs.
Yeah.
But as we've dug deeper, we've uncovered so much more.
We have.
We've explored the importance of integrity, the power of forgiveness, the dangers of giving in to our baser instincts, and the need to live intentionally.
It's a reminder that true wisdom isn't just about knowing the right answers or following a set of rules.
Right.
It's about cultivating a certain way of being in the world,
yeah.
A way that is both thoughtful and deliberate.
And it's about recognizing that every choice we make, big or small, contributes to the kind of life we're building, the kind of person we're becoming.
These proverbs offer us a framework for making those choices wisely.
Right.
For navigating the inevitable challenges and temptations that come our way, and for living a life that is truly meaningful and fulfilling.
I don't know about you, dear listener, but this deep dive has left me feeling both challenged and inspired.
Yeah, me too.
It's a reminder that true wisdom is an ongoing journey, a process of continual learning and growth.
And what better place to start than with these ancient proverbs?
Yeah.
They offer timeless insights into the human condition
and
provide practical guidance for navigating the complexities of life.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I encourage you to revisit those first 19 verses of Proverbs chapter 6 and see what new insights you can glean from them.
Let these proverbs be a starting point for your own journey of reflection and discovery. Allow them to challenge your assumptions, expand your perspectives, and inspire you to live a life of wisdom, purpose, and integrity.
Until next time, keep seeking, keep questioning, and keep diving deep into the wellspring of wisdom that surrounds us.